I hope that this is a pleasant little surprise for you before the big game. The Internet Advisor, generally speaking, is on the air from 4 to 6 throughout most of the year, but during the sports season, we're often preempted by the big games that come up. And we're very fortunate to be here just before the Michigan State game. Coming up a little later on, they're going to be having the pregame starting after this. What it means is, for you folks out there who may not have heard us before, is that this second hour of our program is open lines, when you can call in 800-859-0957. And then we've got Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, Cal Carson, and Jeff Garnay, who is a Microsoft ninja, who is with us in the studio today to answer your questions about Microsoft products in particular. And Cal has a lot of perspective on Apple products. So that number again, 800-859-0957. Just a quick word. If you ever miss us, we do this every week of the year, 52 weeks of the year, we do a program. Our affiliates are going to be hearing this program all year long. Sometimes in WJR, you don't hear it because of the sports schedule. But you can always get our podcast on Sunday nights. If you go to internetadvisor.net, you will be able to get in there and find a recording of the entire program and the different segments of the program you can tap into as well. And there's some neat things that are going to be happening over this wintertime. We're going to be doing a big update on our webpage and do some things with podcasting. So lots of exciting things going on behind the scenes. All right, guys, you ready to roll up your sleeves? Let's dig in. And we have Charlene, who is with us right now. And Charlene, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Oh, hi. Yes. The reason I was calling is I recently had got that FedEx email thing, and it probably has a virus on it. I opened it through my netbook. Now, I had taken my laptop in, and they had found 6 viruses, and they were going to take them all off. Mm-hmm. So my question is that how is this going to affect my computer? Is that virus already on my computer?
Okay, laptop? So you said that they identified this FedEx virus.
Well, I did. I opened the email, and then I realized that it was, not authentic. Mm-hmm. And
Okay.
I had taken my laptop in, and later they found some viruses, but I don't know if that FedEx virus would be on my laptop also, even though I opened it up in my netbook.
Okay. I sort of doubt that. What this really sounds like, it's a phishing scam, right, Gary? And yep. Basically, you would have received an email that would have tried to trick you to click on an attachment to...
Which I did.
Which, yes, and to verify your FedEx shipment, because it's like, oh, right. Yeah, no, everyone gets
somebody
GPS.
Somebody sent me something? Cool.
Yeah.
Flowers. And so, it as you know, it affected the computer that you opened it up on.
Now, right. Will it affect my computer, my laptop when I get it back? If I open it up, am I going to be putting that virus then onto that laptop also?
Yeah, it shouldn't.
If you still have that email
don't
in your box,
don't
open it again. Because, you know, more than likely, the people you took it to are not going to open your email because it's probably web-based. So that email may still exist out there.
So, Charlene, we have to ask you, what kind of security do you have?
Well, I have Comcast as my server, so it was Norton.
Okay.
And I guess it didn't pick it up. They said they found 6 viruses on my computer, even with the Norton antivirus. Yeah.
So sometimes, right, the virus doesn't come onto the computer unless you invite it on by clicking a link.
That's what's called a phishing scam.
Yeah. So they're trying to trick you. It's more of a con than it is a hacking into your computer and putting a virus on it. So,
were there any symptoms that you experienced that, I mean, afterwards, did Norton?
Well, then afterwards, I tried to open up the Norton to do a virus scan, and it wouldn't let me on my notebook.
Okay, so a lot, and that's the trend.
Yeah.
A lot of viruses that are, the first thing they do is they know of ways of disabling your antivirus. Right. You know, and so that's the first thing they've done is disabled your antivirus program.
And just to let you know something, too, even though Norton didn't find that particular virus, you have to remember it's not necessarily that Norton or any other antivirus product is not doing its job. Remember, the virus gets created, and then it starts infecting, and then it gets reported to the antivirus people, and then they make an inoculation for it that will go out and fix it. So maybe you got the virus before the inoculation actually existed, and that's the reason why it didn't detect it in that particular case. So,
and there's also another thing that happens. When you double-click on a message, it says, are you sure you wish to open this attachment? I mean, it's giving you a warning. I mean, 999 times out of 1,000, when we click on a message, you know, we are all creatures of habit. So right. when we double click on it and we say, yes, I want you to open this attachment, that one time out of a thousand, it wasn't a PDF file or it wasn't something else. It had a payload yeah. because you didn't pay attention to the attachment.
We didn't.
I'm guilty of it as well. We are all guilty of it.
Cal, you had a final word.
So the point is, well, I was just going to say, so because you invited it onto your computer is mm-hmm. the reason that Norton didn't stop it. Norton will stop it if you don't invite it on, but if you invite it on, a lot of times they won't. They'll go, okay, if you want this file, you got it.
And or it will stop it if you run a scan after you've invited on, and then it goes through there and goes like, oh, look, you got this over here. The other thing that I was going to tell you to do, too, that I think is really important, is that email that gave you that virus or suspectedly gave you that virus, I would dump that in the trash right now so that 3 months from now you don't click on it and go, oh, snowballs, and then you got to start all over again. So get rid of that piece of mail.
I sent it to the spam file.
Okay.
Yeah, good just spot.
Get it away as far away as you possibly can. Okay, Charlene?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you as well. Okay, we got, Joyce and a whole bunch of other people out there, but there's room
Joel
for you.
Joel and Harry. Yep.
And Joel and Harry. And 800-859-0957 is the toll-free number. A unique opportunity for you to get a consult on your particular computer concerns. Jeff Garnay from Microsoft is also in studio if you have a question about Windows 8 that you'd like to ask, or Windows 8.1 to be more specific. Back in just a moment to answer those questions for you here on the Internet Advisor. One of the unique aspects that we have of our program today is that we have in studio with us Jeff Garnay, who is software and hardware, we call him a ninja from Microsoft.
Jerry's words.
Yeah. And but it's a unique opportunity to handle some questions about Microsoft products in particular. And we have one here. Joel, welcome to the program from Roseville. You have a question about a Dell Inspiron, I believe, right?
Well, yeah, I've got four Dell Inspirons we bought for our boys for school. Mm-hmm. And we got the Microsoft Office and whatnot. And lo and behold, when we went to use the DVDs to function in their laptops, well, wow, there's no player available for it. You got to go to the App Store and download a player. Well, Dell was kind enough to give us a player that just doesn't work very well. It constantly crashes. I've been on with Dell, in India.
Oh, dear.
Like 8-10 hours.
Oh, no. I want to cry when I hear that people have been on for that long on a help desk.
Are you actually looking for a DVD to load the software?
Well, I'm looking for the application.
He's got the player in the Dell's.
Yeah.
So before we let Jeff answer this, because he has the answer probably, Joel, have you thought about Office 365?
I've not even thought about it nor heard about it.
Okay. Jeff, you want to talk about Office 365?
Well, let's deal with the media player first, and then we can talk about 365.
Sure.
So it used to be that there was a media player that came with your Dells.
Correct. So you have media player with your device, right? So if you look up media player, it comes up, right?
Yeah, it's a WinDVD, it's called, I think, or Cyberlink.
Okay, so you have Cyberlink, which is a product that Dell provided you because it includes the codecs for the DVD decryption, okay?
Right.
But and you and I were discussing this, mm-hmm. That Microsoft Windows includes a media player, but it's for music. The DVD playing has always been a difficult thing because where are you going to get the codecs for that? And that's something usually the manufacturer like Dell provides or mm-hmm. Toshiba or whatever.
So in this case, it's not very good.
But Microsoft does provide the ability for DVDs. Now, isn't that correct? Like, I mean, I thought it did.
So the media player doesn't have the codecs. Media player doesn't have the codecs, and you have to actually use a third-party codecs.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, and I just ran into this with a neighbor of mine as well. So they have a media player, and that they thought that the DVD would play on that media player, but they actually had to download a third-party solution to be able to run their DVDs on that particular PC.
So what are some suggestions you have for that, a third party? Do you have any suggestions for a third party?
Wasn't there one that we always used to use? What was it? VLC or something?
VLC.
Like that?
Yeah, VLC is one. You mentioned a Cyberlink earlier. That's a decent one. Obviously you'd like to have it integrated, but the DVD playing codecs comes from third parties. So it's not a part of the Windows Media Player.
Okay, so Joel, the bottom line is for you, no, there isn't a native DVD playing app within the new Microsoft system there. However, there are plenty of, like VLC, Victor Lawrence Charlie, VLC is a universal codec player for DVDs. Am I right on that? I think those guys, am I right on that?
Yep, I think that's correct.
And yes. It's free, and it can be downloaded on your machines and takes care of...
I'm just trying to find a valid source and where to get that. Yep. It's been a couple of years since I've downloaded
it. What we'll do is this, Joel. We'll post something on our homepage, internetadvisor.net, with links to that player for you. Mm-hmm. So you can
I'm there right now, and I don't see it yet.
Well, no, it's not there yet, but it'll...
we'll post
program,
it. Okay,
mercy, I have to do this after the program's over, all right? Okay, yes. Joel?
Yeah, but yeah, do not download it from CNET, because I'm sure you get lots of garbage with that.
We're gonna try to toolbars.
Yeah. Thank you, yes.
We're going to try to give you a site you can download VLC and see if there's some other ones you can play with.
Yeah, VLC Media Player, that's what it's called.
The other thing,
I'll try that. Thank you.
No, Cal, you had something.
You could always take a shot in the dark, too. You could download QuickTime for Windows from the Apple website load that as well. That's also a player that you could use.
QuickTime for Windows, so next one. We'll try to give you a couple of these things, a few of these things to try out for yourself.
Well,
okay?
I'll tell you guys, if I can get something that works as good as my MacBook for the DVD playback, I'll take it.
Okay, well, QuickTime is...
Yeah, I mean, it'd be kind of hard to afford four MacBooks for your kids. send them off to college.
College costs enough already.
I mean, so let's talk about Office 365, because you know what Joel did was he went out and he purchased Office. Even at a student rate, it's expensive.
Yeah, but student comes with three licenses.
And student does come with three licenses. Yeah. That helps. But Office 365, every one of us can use it, and it comes with five licenses. It's $99 a year. It seems like a great deal. I know we had it and love it.
Yeah. So Joel, I don't know how many folks are in your family, but
you said four.
Four, and including yourself, and so five. So there, you could take Office 365 and potentially have one set of licenses for five individuals, five tablets, five PCs, five phones, five Windows, or five mobile devices. So it's 555, and so
I use that with students up at Michigan State University, and three of them are using part of my license.
There you go. Yep. So
now the question I have for you, Jeff: can I mix platforms on those licenses?
Yep.
Can I have three on Windows and two on Mac?
That my understanding is yes.
Okay, yes, cool. You can. Yep. Because we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my daughter has a Mac.
Yeah, and you actually you do it all online and actually list all of your devices that are licensed.
When you go into your account, it will list them all.
And I found a valid site. I don't know why I didn't think of this. To get the VLC, just go to nite.com, NITE.com. It's a great website. Us technicians use it all the time. When you have to install 15 applications after rebuilding a PC,
excellent,
you go to Nite, you select VLC player. I want to download Malwarebytes. I want an Adobe Reader. I want a PDF. You know,
make a whole batch of.
Yeah, and then when you download it, you'll download a single executable, and it'll install all the applications simultaneously.
Yeah.
But you can also use it just to download a single application, like VLC player.
We'll post a link to that. It's
NITE.com. Put a link out there on our site.
Yeah, that's a great site.
We'll have that up there. Okay, let's go to Harry from Port Huron. Hi, Harry. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, guys. And first of all, before I ask my question, to your last caller, I'm a VLC guy. I love it. If you can get it, it's awesome.
Excellent.
The question I have is, I'm getting an iPhone, and I have been told that I can get a wireless external hard drive, that they make such a thing, and then I can connect that drive to my iPhone. Is that true?
I have some swampland in Florida for you.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm going to ask my Mac expert here. But that would be, you know, so what they're talking about is the only way I could see you could do that is Wi-Fi and or possibly Bluetooth.
Or maybe NFC. I don't know.
Near field communications, maybe. Possibly. And but I just don't know if an application, if like a company like Western Digital provides the ability to, because it has Wi-Fi, would provide you an app to do that, or possibly even Seagate. You know, that would make sense.
Yes.
What a great idea, Harry. Did you patent that, or did someone tell you that?
Yeah, somebody mentioned that to me this week when he was heard that I'm going to get one, and I wanted to get to my files. He said, yeah, as far as he heard, they could do it. So that's why I check with you guys.
Cal, am I right that essentially what Harry has and any iPhone user have, with iCloud, you have a wireless hard drive.
Oh, so that's it. Yeah, Harry misinterpreted what he's talking about.
Well, it appears that Seagate makes a device right now that you can do that with.
Okay.
And you can hook an iPhone, iPod up to it and use AirPlay to move your files back and forth.
Excellent.
And you just stream them back and forth between that wireless device.
Wow. So,
Harry, you're an innovator.
There you go.
You are right on top of the curve.
Setting the pace.
The crest of the wave.
As a matter of fact, when you do get whatever device that you get, let us know and tell us how it worked out for you and tell us the features and the goods and the bads about it.
I'd love to, guys. I appreciate your help and your expertise.
You're welcome, Harry. Thank you so much for the question. A good one, too. So,
Why didn't I think of that 2 years ago when they started integrating wireless communication, Wi-Fi capability in there? You could... Oh, my goodness. What a great idea.
Well, I hope Harry calls back when he gets this done.
I do, too. I'd love to hear how it works.
Harry, if you're still listening, please call back when you get it done next couple weeks.
All right. We've got our phone lines open here. Nancy, Joyce, and Dan are going to be online with us. It could be your turn as well at 800-859-0957. Back to answer more of your calls in just a moment on this special edition of the Internet Advisor. Time for me to also pay homage to the folks behind the glass, as we call them. Annie Nichols, thank you very much. I'll leave you the phones. That smiling voice, by the way, is just as nice in person.
You can hear her smile.
And Rich Lesinski, thank you so much for being here and keeping things under control.
Does he smile as well?
He does.
When things are going well, when we're not messing with controls where he has to go fix them on the fly, then he's smiling.
He tends to chuckle a little bit more. All right, let's say hello to Joyce from Highland. Joyce, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How can we help you?
I have a Gateway computer, Windows 7, and I'm trying to pair it with a Bluetooth adapter that goes to a Cricket Explorer. And I have, I was led to go to the device manager, and when I go there, I don't have Bluetooth. So I have gone online. And to try to load a driver, a Bluetooth driver?
I think it's more than just loading a driver, guys. Am I right that you really have to have the hardware in there? There's a radio in there, isn't there, for Bluetooth? Am I right, guys?
Yes. You have to have the hardware. I'm sorry, what did you say your equipment was?
She has a Gateway.
A Gateway.
What's the model of that Gateway, if you could tell us?
And approximately how old is it?
How old is it? It's...
Roughly.
Now on the front or the side? Are you near the computer?
3 or 4. I'm not sure.
Okay, three or four years old. Okay.
Are you near the computer right now?
Yeah, I'm right at it. I'm trying to figure out where I figure out the model.
If you're facing the computer, look on the right-hand side panel of the computer, and it'll probably say Gateway with the little box with the cow on it, and then it'll have some specs on the side of the computer. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay. Do you see a model number on the side of that computer?
Would that be the NZ53A?
Yeah, let's try that. NZ53A is an Apple?
And V as in Victor?
On the N was like Navy.
Okay, so it's M as in Mary, V as in Victor.
No. N as in
Navy.
Nathan.
Uh-huh. Okay. V as in Victor.
V as in Victor. Okay. 5-3 Apple.
Okay. 5-3A. Okay. Well, behind the scenes, we'll look at this. But, Ed, I think the one of the basic problems is if you don't have the actual hardware on board on the computer.
Yeah. Almost all laptops in the last 6 years, if not more, have shipped with a Bluetooth capability. Yeah. If they have Wi-Fi, it's very... very little for them to actually include a Bluetooth capability, unless it's a really cheap laptop. Desktop computers, not too many of them come with Bluetooth capability. I mean, why?
Jeff, where would you look under device managers, would you look for that?
If I'd had a new hard drive put in, would that affect it?
No.
So in device manager, if you're familiar with device manager, you go and it'll be a separate category. It'll actually say Bluetooth.
Yes, I know. That's what I've been told, and there's nothing there.
So, okay. So that means you don't have the that means you don't have the hardware.
To computer.
Yeah, right. So you don't have the hardware built into the notebook to be able to connect
but
via
Joyce,
Bluetooth.
But Joyce, I'm glad you've mentioned this because I think a lot of people think that it's simply a software solution.
What is a Cricket that she was talking about?
What is your Cricket that you're talking about?
Cricket Explorer is a machine that cuts all different shapes.
Oh, okay.
It's like a machine for using for scrapbooking, correct?
Yes, cards or whatever.
It's like a scrapbooking printer, and what it does, you put the paper in it, and it takes the information from the computer and cuts out shapes that she creates.
Very cool.
It's really cool. Yeah, but most of those come with...
The Cricut Explorer will also print and cut, so it prints from my computer and then cuts what it prints.
See, now most... That doesn't make sense. That computer's been out for about 4 or 5 years, and that should come with a USB capability and a cable. So, I mean, it does have wireless capability.
Oh, yeah.
But your computer doesn't support wireless, but it should also support the cable. So
well,
have you got a cable for it?
I can do the cable. It's just I bought the adapter and
I can
print in the living room and still cut in the kitchen.
So the adapter that you bought, is that the adapter that you put on your notebook, or did you put the adapter on your Cricut device?
On my Cricut device.
Okay.
Okay. So you purchased an upgrade, if you will, for your Cricut device, so it could be wireless.
No,
but unfortunately, your desktop computer does not support Bluetooth capability.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's
no Bluetooth built into that.
Am I not right, though, that you can go to one of the computer supply stores and buy a little dongle that you
you could potentially
put it
buy
in.
A dongle.
Yeah. You just in other words, it's a little device we're calling it a dongle, which is a little thingy that you put into a USB drive, and some of them are tiny, teeny, tiny things. You just put that in, and that will then give you the Bluetooth capability.
Assuming that it's the same level Bluetooth as the device that's receiving it, or whether or not the receiving device can take it, and whether or not the drivers are compatible with that particular machine,
and
whether it's for the OS.
And don't get confused with, you know, when you buy a lot of Bluetooth devices, they come with a lot of USB Bluetooth nubs. Those are paired already, and bother. You have to get a universal Bluetooth nub thing that, you know,
Microsoft sells one, doesn't it?
We probably do sell them. I don't know what the model number is.
Right.
The other thing that I'm thinking about, does that printer run on Wi-Fi as opposed to Bluetooth? Do you know that? The Cricut device.
No, it's only Bluetooth. Going to do wirelessly if you have this little Bluetooth adapter.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. So, thank you.
Let's go back on this, Joyce.
Unlike a printer that...
Yeah, Joyce, let's step back for a second here. You can use the wire you have, the USB wire, to go from your laptop to the Cricut device. Okay.
I've done that many times.
Okay. Now, if you want to do it wirelessly, though, you can go out and buy one of these universal Bluetooth nubs or antennas on it.
Yes.
As Ed said, make sure it's universal.
Well, it has to provide you the full Bluetooth capability.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And it doesn't cost an awful lot.
I'm not sure.
Looking at some right now, they're relatively inexpensive, under $30.
Yeah, they're around $30, I think.
Yeah, $30 or less.
So for $30, you could have a solution that you want.
You know, and I can understand where she's going because I really enjoyed when wireless printing came along.
Yeah.
I'd have my printer in one room, and I could stick that wireless printer, and all I needed was an electrical outlet and no cables to trip over, and I could stick it on top of a bookshelf. And then when the printer paper came out, it would come down from heaven because I took out the tray, and it would just drift down to the floor. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
All right, Joyce.
Well, I know this thing is capable of doing things wirelessly because I've been able to do that at my parents' house.
All right, well, we hope we've given you a couple other solutions to it.
Okay.
And it sounds like they're fairly inexpensive, Joyce. Thanks for giving us a
call.
I'm sorry we haven't got a chance to answer another question because we got a bunch of people here, and I'll make sure that they get in as well. So thanks, Joyce, very much for asking that question. Nancy from White Lake, thank you for being with us here on the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have an e-machine. It's got Windows 7 on it, and it seems like it takes longer and longer to boot up. I went in, I'm on it now, and I was wondering, what kind of cleanup I should try to do periodically.
Okay.
I went on the control panel, and I see performance information and tools, and it gives me my scores and, you know, that kind of thing. Right. I don't know.
That's not, that's not necessarily the thing to look at first. Guys, let's just give some quick, let's start with you maybe, Jeff.
Yeah, sure. So two things that come to mind. Number one is disk cleanup.
Yep, I got it open now. It's called Disk Cleanup for E-Machines.
Yeah, there's a Windows version as well.
And okay, where do I find that?
So usually if you go to the Start menu, Programs, Accessories.
Let me see, Start, Programs,
Accessories.
And
should be a folder called Accessories. Should be a folder called Accessories.
Accessories. And by the way, Joyce, don't try to follow this right now.
Yeah.
You'll be able to play this back, and you'll take your time out of it.
So disk cleanup is number one, and then the other one is defragmentation for Windows 7. So when you type in defrag, at the search menu should come right up as an option. But defragment will help speed up the hard drive and also disk cleanup. And guys want to add some more?
Yeah.
Let's see.
And I don't have to download it from the Microsoft site. It should be right on, loaded on my device.
That's correct.
Yeah, those two are part of the accessories that are in your Windows 7 system.
Well, when I look at this disk cleanup, there's all kinds of boxes to check on which files to delete.
Well, yeah, I was going to say recycle bin, temporary internet files, log files, old Windows updates, and what that's doing is eliminating disk space, but it's the defrag that's important. You also want to, one thing that could slow down a computer startup is disk errors. So you want to check your hard drive for disk errors. So you would go into your My Computer, you would locate your C drive, and then you'd want to check it for disk errors. And you do that by right mouse clicking on it, selecting Properties. There's a Tools tab at the top, and then you can say Scan my disk for errors now. And hold on the air. We'll talk to you.
What we're going to do, Nancy, is we're going to put you on hold right now. And when we come back, we'll give some of the other things you can do, maybe some other software as well. And we'll give a kind of a wrap up of that package for our listeners, too, in just a moment. I want to thank Jeff Granite from Microsoft for being with us. Jeff, it's been good having you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Talking about all the fun new things. We didn't even get to talk about it. Windows 10 Preview is out. Yeah. And I've been playing with it. And right now I have a little bit of it, by the way, if you're going to play with it, realize that this is a very buggy thing because it's just a beta.
It is beta, and there have been a couple releases since the original announcement, and so a lot of great features, functionality are being added on a weekly basis, if you will. So a new build is supposed to come out next week.
Oh, excellent. But it's only for the brave. It's only for the brave.
But you know, if you jump in on the beta and try to help out with that particular thing, if you see features that you like, you can always feed that back. And who knows? You may be the person that made that widget that came alive.
That's very important.
Yeah, feedback is built into preview. So and that as you do different things inside there, it'll actually ask, go pop up questions, say, hey, how did the alt tab work for you? Scale 1 to 5 and let you add comments. So and we're taking all that feedback in.
And even if it isn't doing that, you can get the feedback thing. And I told them, hey, well, all of a sudden my keyboard isn't lit anymore. What happened there? You know, and different things like that.
And you forgot to turn the power on.
No, not really. Hey, I want to go back to Nancy and what she was asking us about beforehand about keeping her Windows 7 machine clean. We had talked about using disk cleanup and defrag and the disk error check. CCleaner, Ed, is an excellent tool that we have in our Internet Advisor Toolkit. It's free. So, Eddie, where do you go to get that?
InternetAdvisor.net, and underneath the toolkit, and it's under utilities. And it's under, it's piriform.com, CCleaner, is the website.
Piriform.
Okay. Potato, patata.
Spell it,
P-I-R-I-F-O-R-M.
And
I use the free version, and it's great because it cleans up old utilities. Yeah. It'll clean up disk space and log files and startup files. They can all slow down a little bit, your computer.
Yep.
But the other portion of it, of CCleaner that we use, is that it has a startup, sort of like what we use for MSConfig, the Microsoft utility, MSConfig, that allows you to selectively deselect which items start up on Windows. Right. Because as a computer ages, you get more and more things that are loaded up on your taskbar. It's like, I don't even have a brother's computer anymore. Why is it still loading the drivers? Yeah,
exactly.
You know,
and with something like an E-machine, Nancy has an E-machine, which is one of the old netbooks.
Yeah.
Got 3 gigabyte of RAM on it, probably pretty limited. And, you know, those things are taxed to begin with. And Cal
found some interesting information about the Cricut, which was spelt C-R-I-C-U-T.
Oh.
Yeah, matter of fact, if you go to Cricut.com, they have a breakdown of what's going on in there. And it appears to me, from what I read out there, is that she doesn't need a Bluetooth. That adapter she has is not Bluetooth. It's actually Wi-Fi.
Oh.
She plugs it into the machine itself, and then on the front panel, she walks through a display. And when she plugs that in, it gives extra options on it. She goes in and mates it with her Wi-Fi network in the house. And bingo bango, she should be dancing.
Bada-boom,
okay,
bada-bing.
So think of it this way. When people say wireless, some people mean Bluetooth. Some people mean wireless networking. Right. There's terminology there that, other things have inherited and used that terminology. Right. You know, well, like in the United States, we say $1 million, and they don't say that in Britain. You know, they say, I forgot what they, a million and billion are just.
And the whole point of our program is to cut through that geek speak and give you some clean, simple language to be able to understand. That's
right. And by the way, if you come up with a question by the time our program's over, it's going to be over shortly, you can always go to internetadvisor.net and we have a contact us button. Oh. Click on that. And then during the week, Ed and Cal and I and Gary, we will get on the line and try to fix something.
And YouTube does provide videos for the Cricut installation and how to set up Wi-Fi and how to set it up to print with your printer.
We should say this, folks, by the way, and we've had 16 years of answering questions here, but one of the things that's developed in that time is that YouTube has become an enormous resource. I had to replace the screen on a laptop. I went to YouTube and I watched the whole thing and was able to, you know, here I am, all thumbs, was able to do it. There are so many answers you get now with YouTube that can show you how to do it step by step.
Now, the only caveat on that YouTube thing, and I agree with you, there's tons of spaces out there, but you want to look at multiple YouTubes of the same subject matter. Because some people think they're experts, and they're not quite there yet.
Yeah.
And
you do not use
some of them also don't remember to give you the caveats to be safe and do that sort of thing as well. Yeah. Go ahead,
Ed. I was going to say, you don't use knives with toasters for repair, okay?
And always unplug the machine. Hey, let's see if we can pick up a...
Gary, you were going to say something?
I'm sorry, Gary.
No. Couldn't top that.
Dan from Warren, how can we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Hi, guys. I got a Dell XPS 400 tower, and it's running into Windows. So don't laugh. It's still running XP.
Okay.
But anyhow, about a week ago, I started getting this intermittent flashing amber light on the power switch. And the very next, it shut down. And the next day, I hit the button, it started up, it ran fine, I backed up all my drives.
Good.
And
smart man.
I told the wife, don't shut it off, so we left it on, and it's been on ever since. Got up this morning, and the amber light was flashing on the power light. And I did some power reading, I took some power readings on one of the plugs for the power supply, but I was wondering, what do you think, Scott? And it's there's a 4 error code on the panel, front panel.
Well, if you go to the Dell website and put in your machine's what is that number on there? Service code on
service
the side.
Service tag.
It'll bring up your machine with the configuration on, and it will also have links on there for troubleshooting, and they will tell you what that code specifically means. Right off the top of my head, I'd say your power supply is about to take a long walk on a short pier.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought when it did this intermittent operation, and then it shut down by itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. The good news is you probably find really used parts really cheap. It's that old.
Yeah. If you can find the used parts.
I think you probably be able to find a new power supply. I've done them for those machines for about $40.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, for the money that you're going to spend on the power supply, like the $40, and the time you're going to spend taking it apart, putting it together, putting a new power supply and stuff like that, and the value of your time, it's probably time to take a step up to a new machine, which you could probably get into for, I don't know, $300 or $400. Take your data, transfer it over there, load up your programs, and walk on down the street feeling a lot more confident for another 4 years.
Because you can improve that part.
And it'll be a lot faster.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
A lot faster.
A lot. In other words, you can put a V8 engine into a Yugo, but it's still a Yugo.
Gotcha.
All right, sir.
But thanks for the advice, and I really appreciate your program.
Thank you so much.
And Dan was really smart. When something like that was starting to go wrong, He backed it up.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Because there's only two groups of people out there, those who need to back up and those who wish they backed up. Which one would you like to be?
I've been both.
All right. Let's wrap things up with Ralph from Sterling Heights. Ralph, how you doing? How can we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Hello. I have a Dell desktop computer running Windows 8.0, and Microsoft forced me to upgrade to 8.1, mm-hmm. and all my drivers disappeared from my printers and peripheral. Is there a quick fix here?
Wow.
Well, I don't know why they would have disappeared, and you definitely wanted to move to 8.1 for a whole lot of reasons, but it shouldn't have done that.
No.
Jeff?
Yeah, so I don't have an exact answer for that, but drivers should have not have disappeared. But so when you connected the devices, are they asking for drivers, or are they able to find the devices?
Well, as an example, if I just ask it to print something, it just doesn't do it.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. Ralph, we want to hang on, all right? We're going to put you on hold, and we'll talk with you after the program is over here. For the rest of you folks out there, if you do have a question for us, again, go to internetadvisor.net and click on the Contact Us button. You can put an email in there that we'll tackle. Gives us a little more time to think it over and consult among ourselves and help you. Thank you all for being here for this special edition of the Internet Advisor. Remember that every week we do this program, even if you don't hear it on our flagship station, WJR. We're on our affiliates across the state, and we have a podcast that we publish every Sunday night that contains the content of our programs 52 weeks a year. Thank you so much for all of you being with us.